Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Pei Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins halfway down Daf Pei Tes at the Mishnah. Before we begin the actual learning of the text, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, and we've written under the No Say, Hamezores es Bonov Lagia Lishchitas HaPesach. We will witness in our Mishnah a description of a father trying to encourage, motivate his sons to arrive quickly at Yerushalayim for the processing, the fulfillment of the korban, of the slaughtering of the korban Pesach. So the Mishnah, Ha'omer Livonov, a man announces to his sons, Hareini Shochet es HaPesach, I am going to slaughter my korban Pesach, Al Mi Shiale Mikem Rishon Yerushalayim. I'm going to slaughter on behalf of the first one to arrive in Yerushalayim. Kevon shehichnis harishon roshei v'rubo, when the first one to have his head and the majority of his body cross the line, so to speak, enter the walls of Yerushalayim. Zocha v'chelko, he wins or he merits his portion, umezake es echov imo, and through him the other brothers will get their portions as well. The Gemara asks, Shma mino yesh brero, should we conclude from here that we accept retroactive determination? Because what's happening over here? The father is slaughtering the Pesach. At the time he's slaughtering it, it's not clear who is going to be the first one to enter Yerushalayim. Well, retroactively, the first one to enter Yerushalayim will be the one for whom the father slaughtered it, and hence the others get their portion. Well, in order for a person to be appointed to a Korban Pesach, he has to have been appointed at the time of slaughtering. But at that time, it wasn't clear who would be the first one. And yet we are saying that everyone is everyone acquires a portion in the Korban Pesach because of the first one to arrive, and that is established only later on. But we are saying that retroactively he is the one for whom it was slaughtered. Now, in order to say that, you have to be relying on the institution or the mechanism known as brera, retroactive determination, and that is something that's highly questionable. The Gemara answers that we are not dependent upon brera here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kedei lezarzon b'mitzvahs ko'amar. Really, this father appointed all of his sons to be participants in his Korban Pesach before he started the slaughtering. He simply presented it this way in order to hasten them in their performance of the mitzvah. Daiko nami, by careful reading, you can see this in the language that the father really had in mind all of them at the outset. And here the Gemara makes a point that lasts a couple of lines. By careful reading, the Mishnah said, Umezake echov imo. The one who is first in, not only does he gain his portion, but he also acquires on behalf of the others their portions. E amris bishlamo de amninhu meyikora. Shapir, if you say that really the father appointed them all at the outset, then this makes sense. Elo e amris de lo amninhu meyikora. If, however, you say they weren't all appointed at the outset, just one was appointed at the outset, then labosar de shochet mi ko mismanu after slaughtering, is it possible to become appointed, or chosen to be a participant in the Korban Pesach? V'hatnan, we have a source that says, Nimin u'moshchen yedayim imenu ad she'ishchat. The appointing or withdrawal, if that should be your desire, all of that takes place only up till the slaughtering. Shma mino, so this is proof that the appointing had to have taken place, the appointing of all of them had to take place, really, before the Shechita. And the way the father spoke, as was presented in this mission, was only kedei lezarzan, only to hasten them in their mitzvah performance. But on the, as we said, on the bottom line, really, they were all appointed to be part of his Korban Pesach at the outset. Tanyo nami hochi. And further, we bring a Tanaic source to support that the whole point of the Mishnah, of the father in our Mishnah, was to hasten. It says in the source, Maisiv ekodmu bonois lebonim, there was an incident where the daughters, the girls, actually came before the sons, v'nimtza bonos rizos ubonim shalim, and the result of this was showing that the daughters were more diligent, more hasty in the positive sense than the sons. The sons mean shvelim, meaning the lazy ones, the lower ones, the less diligent ones. So this source shows us that the whole point was for zrizos, and hence you can see nimso bonos zrizos, which is the key expression here. We continue with the new Mishnah. Before we do so, we glance at the side on the top under the topic heading Denosei. We've written Ad Mosai Nimnin Al HaPesach. Up till what point can one join into a group for eating the Korban Pesach? The Ad Mosai Moishchin Es Yedeim MeHaPesach. And up till what point can one withdraw from a group? The Mishnah LeOlam Nimnin Olav Ad Shiyeh Bo Kezayis L'Chol Echad VeEchad. A person can join a Korban Pesach provided that in terms of the number of participants and the amount of meat, there remains a minimum of an olive quantity of meat per participant. Nimnin u'moshchin es yedeyem imenu ad shi'ishochet. One can join up or withdraw if he wants to change groups from one to another. All can be done up till the slaughtering. Rabbi Shimon Omer ad shi'zorek es adam. Rabbi Shimon says until the application of the blood, the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach. The Gemara, referring to the Reisha, asks, "My Komash Molon, what is the point of the Mishnah where it says La'olam Nimnin Olav that a person can always join up? Ha Komash Molon. The following is what the Mishnah is trying to tell us. The Afagav, the Imni Olav Chabura Zu, even though one group happened to join up with a particular Korban Pesach, Choseres Veninin Olav Chabura Acheres, they can withdraw and another group can join up with it. The Rashi says, the Afagav, the Nimnin Olav Chabura Zu, Choseres Veninin Olav Chabura Acheres, Kol Chabura Shleimo, Shenimnu Al Pesach Echad, Yimshichu Kulam Yedeh Mimenu, an entire group that was appointed, that joined with one Pesach, can, as an entire group, withdraw, Udalok Rabbi Yehuda, and unlike, this is unlike Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the Pinim Rabbi Yehuda, Domer Lekamon Perek, Mishoya Tomei, he says this later in the Masechta, Ubovat Shia Echad Bidnei Chabur Rishona Kayem Olav. He, the Rabbi Yehuda, has a different opinion, namely that withdrawal can take place, but that is qualified or limited to a situation where one of the original group members remains on that Korban Pesach. This mission is saying no, an entire group without any of the original members remaining can withdraw with a second group coming to take their place. Nimnin u'moshchin es yedeim ad shi'ishochet. Rabbi Shimon Omer ad shi'izrok es adam. The Gemara now qualifies this machlokis, where the Mishnah mentioned in the Tanakhama, the first opinion was until slaughter, and the second opinion, that of Rav Shimon, was said until the blood sprinkling. So Abai says the machlokis is as far as withdrawal. The Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon hold that withdrawal can take place only up till slaughtering. And Rav Shimon gives longer a longer time, withdrawal can take place even after the korban was slaughtered, but up till the, as long as it's prior to the sprinkling. And they see this in the words of the pasuk. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's glance at the side where we've included Shmois Perek Yud Beis pasuk Dalid. We've written, let's glance and read it together. Ve'im yimat habayis miyos miseh, ve'lokachu ushcheno hakoroi velbeisoi, ve'michsas nefoshes ish lefi ochloi tochoisu al haseh. In this pasuk, we see the expression toward the beginning of the pasuk, miyos miseh. And the Gemara, Domar Abai, machlokes li moshech, the Rabbanan Savri, im, it said in the pasuk, im yemat habayis, miyos miseh. That's michiyuso deseh, meaning as long as the animal is still alive, meaning prior to shechita. And if we look in the Rashi, just three lines from the bottom, im yemat habayis, imbo limo eight, the limoshech, if they want to withdraw from, that means to minimize and withdraw from the se, miyos miseh ba'od, heyoso lese yisma'atu. It means as long as the se is still around, they can withdraw. We continue with the next opinion from Shimon Sovar, mehavoyose dese. That means from the processing of the se. Rashi says mehavoyose koidem gemar avodosov. As long as you are before the end of all the sacrificial activities. The Gemara continues avol limonos. But in order to join up with a korban pesach. Divrei HaKol, everyone, including Rabbi Shimon, agrees ad sheyishochet, until the slaughter. In other words, you can't join up with a Korban Pesach group if the animal has already been slaughtered. D'yomar Kro, the pasuk says b'michsas nefoshos v'hodar tochosu, and that meaning michsas nefoshos, meaning the appointed number of people, and then tochosu means shechita. Then the slaughtering. Tanya Nami Hochi, the Brisa supports this. Nimnu Moshem Es Yedem Mimenu Ad Shishochet. Joining up can take place up till the slaughtering. Rabbi Shimon Omer Nimnin Ad Shishochet. Now we've dashed underline this to show that Rabbi Shimon on this point agrees with the Tanakhama that joining takes place up till the slaughtering. Umoshchin Ad Shizorek Hadam. Rabbi Shimon though says as far as withdrawal is concerned that you have up till the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach. We continue now on Amud Beis at the top, a new Mishnah. Hamimane Imoy Acher B'chelkoi. We have spoken about people that have joined a Korban Pesach. Try to imagine for a moment that you have a rather small group to eat an entire lamb. So the amount that each person in this small group, each one is entitled to one third of a lamb. Now that's a significant amount of meat. So one of the members can actually have others, let's say, pay him some money and join in his portion. So that's what's being described here. Someone is having others join in his particular portion. So we have, let's just go over the scenario. We have an original group, and if we want to just see for argument's sake, of three people, and then one of these three people wants to have his friends come along with him, of course, within his portion. So the Mishnah says, Rashoin b'nei chabura, the other two members of this particular group in our example, the other two original members, can say, turn to this guy who wants to have more people join, and they can say, Rashoin b'nei chabura, lite lo es shalo, they can say, listen, you take your third, v'hu ochel mishalo, v'hein ochlin mishalahen, and he'll have his designated third, and he'll eat from his portion, and the other two will eat from their portion, as opposed to what originally would have taken place is the three people that were originally joined this Korban Pesach, so they would all eat from all parts of the animal. In this case, since he wants to have more people and they don't, so they say, look, you take your portion, take a third of it, go and have you and your friends eat together. And the Rashi points out quite importantly, based on a Gemara we saw back on Daf Pei Vav, that this Tana holds that one Korban Pesach can be eaten amongst two groups. That, of course, was a machlokes that we learned about earlier. So this Mishnah is going with that opinion that says one Pesach can be split between two groups, and that's what they, in effect, are doing over here. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note, with a featured diamond and a Roman numeral number 1. And skimming down the page, you can see the lower half of the page, there appears a Roman numeral number 2. On the side of the Gemara, we have Shnei Lishonos Mahoi Sohoibaya. There are two versions as to what the question is. So there's a question presented here in Roman numeral number 1. And further down the page, right before the second diamond, you see a squiggle underlined Iko Diamri, and we often squiggle underlines to indicate a switch or a transition point. Here there's a second Lashon, and the Gemara at that point will say that whatever had been discussed till now was not a question, but rather the following is a question, and that's presented in Roman numeral number 2. So now, as far as the topic heading is concerned, under the Nosei and the Roman numeral number 1 diamond, Haim Efsher Laharchik Ulahafrid Echod Mibnei Hachabura Sheoichel Harbei Umaher. If given a group of people that are participating in a Korban Pesach, can they, if they discover one of the members is eating a little more than the rest, eating a lot and quickly, can they distance him? We read the Gemara. Ibai Alaho, Bnei Chabura, Shohu Yodov Shel Echod Mehem Yofos. Now that's a kind of a euphemism, where the literal translation is they discover in their group one of them has nice hands. But as we say, that's a euphemism. Rashi refers to it as Lishnom Ayo, which we translate as a euphemism. But in fact, he is eating quickly and a lot, and that can easily disturb other people. So Mahu Sheyom Lo To Cheltucho Vitzei. Can they say to him, you take your portion and go? And the two sides of the question are presented, Aleph, and then the next line, squiggle on line, Oy Dilma, Beis, or possibly something else. So the two sides, Mi Amrinon. Do we say, Motzi Omar Lahu, he can tell them, Ha Kabiltun, listen, you accepted me as I am. And Rashi says, Kabiltun, Kibaltuni Alechem Lechol B'chol Koichi B'damim Alalo. I paid money to buy into this group, to join the group. Everyone chips in, and you accepted me as part of the group with the understanding that I'll eat B'chol Koichi with all my strength. So can he claim that? Oy Dilma Motsu Lemeimar Lei, or can they respond or say to him, Ki Kablinon, under what circumstances do we accept you? L'sikuni zivicha. We accept you to be a member of the group so that there should be no meat left over. How, in other words, that you will eat just like the rest of us, to make sure that there's no nos or nothing left over. However, adaito da'achlis tfeiminon lo kablinoch, but with the mindset, with the thought of your eating more than the rest of us, that we didn't have in mind. We didn't accept you under those terms. So the question is raised. In order to deal with this, you'll see we have triangles, and under the Mivneh heading on the side, you can see we feature the triangles, and these are attempts, nisyonos, lifshot es hasheila, to resolve the question, the above mentioned question. The first attempt, though, you'll notice lasts a number of lines. Hamimane achirim imoi. Oh, let's read this again. Toshma hamimane achirim imo al chelkoi. We saw this in our Mishnah. There was an original group of several people, and one of the members wanted others to join with him in his portion. Rashoyin b'nei chabura litei lo es shelo. The other members of the original group can say to you, take your portion. Vu ochel es shelo, v'hein ochlin es shelohem. And he will eat his portion with his friends, and the original people will eat their portion. My taima. Now, why is this the case? Lav mishum tahavele ke yodayim shalechot mehen yofos. Is it not like a case of one of them eating more and faster than the rest? And what do we see here? That when you have a situation like that, you can tell him to leave. Here, even though the original individual who invited the friends might not necessarily be such a ravenous individual, but you have other people, and so they will account for more eating, and the other original members don't want that. The Isalka Daitoch Yodov Yofois Motzi Omar Lahu Kabiltun, if you would take the approach, like we said above in the Aleph of the Odilma Beis, the first side, that he can tell them, listen, you accepted me, then Nevehai Kiyodov Yofos. Then why not have our Mishnah be treated like that? And they can't push him away. The Gemara says that is not a solution to the question. In other words, citing our Mishnah as a response or as a means of answering our question, that is not the case. And this is a rejection. It takes a couple of lines. Amri loy deos shiny. The deos means additional people, additional individual people that are joining together. That is what's bothering them. De'inami travayu kechad b'bnei chabura hu da'achli. Even if this fellow that wants his friends, that even if they all together would eat a quantity that's no greater than any one of the original members, motzi amri lei, they can tell this guy that wants his friends, de'lo nicholon inish nuchro gabon. It's not comfortable to us to have strangers with us. The people that you're inviting, we don't know who they are. So that the case or the problem presented by the Mishnah is not an issue of additional amounts, additional quantities of food being eaten. The problem presented in the Mishnah is the intolerance or the disturbance presented by having strangers. So in a case where there's strangers, so there you can tell them, we don't want your strangers eating with us. However, when it comes to an original member that might be eating more than the rest, we don't see from here that you can push him away. Toshma, so we try again. Hashamash she'ocha kezayis boser b'tzad hatanur. The shamash is a waiter, and he's eating an olive quantity of his korban pesach next to the oven. And this shamash he's in the position where he has to serve the others that are there. Imhoya pikeach. Now we also have to point out that this is working with the idea that a korban pesach cannot be eaten in two places. That one person cannot eat his korban pesach in two different places. So this shamash is eating, and if he ate his basic korban pesach, if he's wise, memale kreso mimeno, he'll eat and get filled up there, so that he won't continue eating in another place. Bearing in mind, again, he has to go to another place. He's serving others. Im rotsu b'nei chabura lasus toivo imo. If the members of his chabura want to do him a favor, in other words, he is serving these other people. They were up till now sitting at a distance. If they want to do him a favor, so boyin v'yoshvin etzlo v'oichlin divrei Rabbi Yehuda, they would come and join him and sit next to him so that he can continue eating without having to stuff himself before getting up. And they're all right there so that while he is serving them, he can continue eating and not be guilty of eating in two separate places. But now what do we see from here? Rotsu in, lo rotsu lo. If they should decide to help him out, so to speak, they can help him out. Otherwise, no, they don't have to. V'amai, why is that? Nemo lehu, why can't he tell them, ha kabilton, but you accepted me, I'm a shamash, you accepted me as part of your group. And if he were able to say that, So he would be in effect saying, since I can't come to you, you are chayev to come to me. So that you see from this source, the option for him to say ha kabiltun is not an option. The Gemara rejects this. Shiny Hossam, the case of the Shamash is different. The Amrilei, they can tell him, ki kablinoch, that which we accepted you as part of this Korban Pesach, adaito de nitrachacho kamon, with the intent that you would trouble yourself for us, that you would put yourself out for us. However, the mitrach lon ledidoch, that we should put ourselves out for you to move over to where you are, lo kablinoch, we didn't accept you under those terms. So once again, the case of the Shamash only shows that extra tircha is something that cannot be expected. That cannot be expected. However, when all else remains the same, and one person happens to eat more or faster than the rest, so as far as we're concerned right now, you can't prove from here that he can be pushed away. Toshma, b'nei chabura shehoyu yodov shel echod mehem yofois. Now this source opens up with our very case. You have a group of people where one of them has this problem of yodov yofos. Rashoyin lomar tul chelkucha v'tzei. They can push him away. V'lo oid elo afilu chamisha v'osu siboiles. Not only the case of the Korban Pesach, but five people that join together to pool their meal money. That's Sibolis, where they all join together to have to pay for and eat their meals together. Rashoyin Lomar Lo, if they notice that one of the members is eating more than the rest of them, they can tell him, Tul Chelkucha Vetzei, take your portion and go. Shma Minos. So this Tanaic source is conclusive. It proves that it proves like the bays of the original question, which we presented in Aleph Odilma Bays. It shows the bays side of things, that they can say we accepted you only to be an equal member, so as the korban shouldn't become noser, but to eat more than the rest of us, that we don't have to accept you, so they can push him away. My veloy oid. In this source, we saw the expression veloy, meaning not only the case of Korban Pesach, but also the case of where they pool their meal money. What is the intention of citing that in this source? So the Gemara answers, and this answer takes a couple of lines to develop. Lo mibaya komar. This is a common Tanaic form where lo mibaya. I don't have to say this is the structure, and the Gemara explains itself. Lo mi bayo Pesach. I don't have to tell you. In other words, it's so obvious in the case of Pesach. The motzi amri le, they can tell him ki kablinoch l'skunes vicha. We accepted you only as so far as making sure that the meat wouldn't be left over. So that's basic, that they can push him away. Ela filu siboilis nami, even a standard group meal plan. Where they pool their money together, where there's no issue of no sort of leftover korban. This is something that can happen all year round. So even in that case, the tzafsa bi'amahu, where it's just a matter of them, tzafsa means to be company one with the other, where people are together, togetherness, where there it's just a matter of togetherness, and it's not an additional consideration, a korban consideration. But even so, even in such a mundane case, Rashoyin Lomar Lo, they can tell him, Tul Chelkecha Vetzei, take your portion and part from us. Iko Diamri, another version. Ha Lo Ibayalon, that this issue was never the original question, as we saw above by Roman numeral number 1, was never the question. Elohochi hu de bayalon. Rather, the following is what was a question to us. Bnei chabura rashoyin l'chalek oy enon rashoyin l'chalek. a group of people that assembled and joined together for a Korban Pesach, can that group split up? Toshma, so the Gemara brings a source to answer this, B'nei Chabura Shehoyu Yodav Shel Echad Me'am Yafois, a group of people that discovered one of them was eating more than the rest, Rashoyin Loi Mar Loi Toil Chalkichavot, say they can dismiss him and tell him, take your portion and go. Yodav Yafos In, we infer from here that only under those circumstances can there be a split of an original group. However, Ein Yodav Yafos Lo, but without that reason, without that excuse, so to speak, just a simple decision to split up a group, that cannot happen. Shma mina, we conclude from here that there is no splitting up. Rav, we have a story. This we have a long marking to illustrate this, called a long Misa marking. You can see it takes you down to the second of the wide lines of the Gemara. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brei, Rav Yehoshua, Arivu, Rifta, Bahadi Hadadi. They join together. Rifta literally is bread. If you want, you can say they bought a loaf of bread together. Ado ochil Rav Huna brei derav Yehoshua chada. By the time that Rav Huna ate one portion, ochil Rav Papa arba. Rav Papa ate four. Rav Papa consumed a much larger quantity of the bread in the same time that it took Rav Huna to consume the smaller quantity. Amarle, Rav Huna said, Palagli, I want you to split up. In other words, if we pooled equal money to buy this loaf, let's just cut it down the middle and let's split up. Amarle, Rav Papa said, Kabiltun, you accepted me in the original partnership, so you can't tell me to take half and just walk away. We're in this together. You notice we have a double underline. This double underline represents one of our series markings. So it's a series of questions that, or a series of responses or questions or challenges that Rav Huna presents to Rav Papa. Eisve kol hani tyufta. The above, here we use our triangle markings between the lines. That means the objections above, which were to show that you can push someone away, so they were raised. Vishani kideshaninon. So questions 1 and 2, as we saw before, which were trying to show that you can push someone away, they were presented, and Rav Papa answered. He answered as we answered. In other words, you noticed above that we rejected them as proofs to that side of things, that you can push someone away. Eisve b'nei chabura. So then Rav Huna tried to bring proof from the case of the b'nei chabura, the resha of that source, where they can push you away. Amale, so Rav Papa responded to that. Hasam di amrile. There, they can tell him, ki kablinoch l'skuni zvicha. There, the reason they can push him away is because they can tell him, listen, we had you join only to make sure that the korban would not become nosar. Basically, there the push away is because there's the korban factor. But as far as a common meal is concerned, you can't push someone away. Eisve siboilis. So then the Rav Huna Brevi Yeshua questioned Rav Papa based on the source that spoke about the common meal where they joined together, and that you can see we have an arrow to the side. Just align this with the arrow above, and you see what this is referring to. So Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua said to Rav Papa, look what it says about the case of the common meal where they can say go away to the guy that's eating more than the rest. Paul Agle. Well, with that, so Rav Papa split equally with Rav Huna Brev Yeshua. At this point, Rav Huna Brev Yeshua still wants to have a partner in his meals. So Ozal Orev Bahadei Ravina. So Rav Huna Brev Yeshua had Ravina join together with his meals. And you know what happened? Ad ochel Rav Huna Brev Yeshua Chada, by the time Rav Huna ate one portion, ochel Ravina Tanir. Ravina ate eight times the amount. So if you thought that, if Rav Huna thought that Rav Papa was a problem, boy oh boy, he is into real trouble now with Ravina. Omar, Rav Huna then reacted and said, Mea Papi Velo Chada Ravina. I'd rather have 100 Papa, Rav Papas than one Ravina. Tonu Rabbonan. We have a new Tanaic source and a topic that focuses on the issue of someone who had a portion and wants to have other people join in together with him in his particular portion, the topic we alluded to earlier. Hamemane Acherim Imoi Al Pischoi, the Al Chagigosoi. This is someone that had his Korban Pesach, or he had his Chagiga Yudalit, he had his Korban Chagiga that's brought also on the 14th of Nisan. The Chagigas Yudal is something we've spoken about in much earlier in the Masechta. We're not going to elaborate on it over here, but someone is having others join him. So you have a primary owner, and he is now having others join together with him in his Korban Pesach or his Korban Chagiga. Mos Shebiyado Chulin. That means the money that they paid to join with him in his Korban, the money he gets is chulin. In other words, he can do with the money what he wants. And that we're saying just in general terms for right now. V'hamocher oiloso ushlomov loy oso velo klum. One who had dedicated a korban olo, a korban shlomim, and he sells it to someone else for someone else to get benefit from those korbanos for their purposes, it's of no value. Lo also will come as he's done nothing, he's accomplished nothing. In other words, he can't do that. You can't sell korbanos that you sanctified, that you bought and sanctified for yourself, and then have it transferred through a sale to someone else for him to benefit from it. Umo'ois kol shehen yiplu linadava. All the money that he received is then going to be used for buying voluntary sacrifices for the Mizbeach. The Rashi that appears a few lines above, it says, Umois kol shein, kol ma shekibel min ha'oilo v'ashlamim, v'afilu yoiser al kedei demehem. If a person received a purchase price from those others, even if he received more than the value of the korban itself, even that extra amount is Yiplu Hamois Lenidvas Sibor. The money is channeled to buy public voluntary sacrifices. L'shofaros Shebe Mikdash. The money is deposited in vessels that were in the temple treasury, known as Shofaros. Shoyu Makrivin Mehen Oilus Lekeitz Mizbeach. The money that was found in these vessels was used to purchase Ola sacrifices for the Mizbeach when it experienced downtime. Ulekamei Porach. And later the Gemara will ask Me'achar De Lo Asa V'Lo Klum. Once you're telling me that the sale is not a sale, amai yiplu demeim linadava. So then, why do you say that that he doesn't get his money back? You say that the whatever money that is. Why do you say that the money that he received isn't returned to the owner, the purchaser, the customer, and rather it goes to a nadava? So once again. And this Gemara we'll discuss later on. If you're telling me the sale is a non-sale, so wouldn't you expect the money to go back to the purchaser? So what happens in this case, ultimately, the korbanos that were sold really were never sold, and the original fellow will get benefit from his korbanos, and the person that paid for it doesn't get his money back, nor does he, and certainly doesn't get the korbanos. So he loses out, and that Gemara will ask, why is that? And now we continue with the Gemara, focusing on that very question. In this source, we were taught that the sale is a non-sale, and the original owner of the oilo and shlomim, he will benefit from his korbanos. The money, why do we say that it goes to purchase public sacrifices? Why doesn't it go back to the purchaser? He should get his money back. Omar Rava, Knossos Rava says, this is a function of a knas, of a fine that we levy against someone who tries to purchase someone else's sacrifices. Umay Kolshein, in the source we saw the expression Mos Kolshein. We already explained this, but here the Gemara is asking the question, what is meant by the Kolshein expression? The Gemara answers, Afagav de lo havu shavu ela arba, even if these sacrifices were worth only four units of money, viavu le chamisha, and he was paid five, afilu bahi yisera nami konsuhu rabon, and even that extra coin, that extra amount, is part or subject to this particular fine, namely the entire amount that the original owner received, the money goes to the nidvas tzibor, the public sacrifices offered as ketzem hazbeach, which we explained before was public sacrifices offered on the altar when it experienced downtime, when that means when other people were not there bringing their personal sacrifices. The monies would be used for buying these sacrifices to keep the mizbeach working, which is a goal in mind, so that people respect the mizbeach and the avodas beis hamikdash, not seeing it on downtime. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, and also an indication that this nosei goes until the Mishnah at the end of Tzadi Omid Aleph. Now, we are learning in the context of the Daf Yomi program, which would basically say at the end of this page we would have to finish our shiur. If we do that, we'd be cutting things off in the middle. So we'll have to make an exception this time and actually spill over quite a bit in order to complete this topic, because there really is no stopping point in the middle. Before we continue in the Gemara text, though, let us read what we have presented here as our introduction. The Nosei. Be'inyan mimane achirim al pischo. With regard to the topic mentioned in the most recent Tanaic source of someone who has others joining him to participate in his Korban Pesach, Hai dekotoni, that which it says in the source, the mos shebiyodo shu kibel mehem chulin, the money that he has, that he got from them, the money is viewed as chulin, which would mean he can, without getting into details, the Gemara will deal with the details, but superficially it would mean the money he gets, he can do with it whatever he likes. Yesh lahasbir, we have to explain something. Eich itochein, how can it be? Demois, kefi hasalka daiktof, money according to the assumption. This will change in the course of the Gemara, but right now we have to accept this assumption that money that they are paying, shehukdashu, L'shem Pesach, they set aside money, they earmarked their money and sanctified it for the purpose of buying a Korban Pesach. How can it be that that money which is sanctified, Yotzim L'chulin, becomes mundane, Al Yedei Kach Shehem Shulmu, that the money was paid, Kidei L'kabil Chelek, B'vehemo, the money was paid to get a portion in an animal shikvar, the animal itself had already been sanctified. So you've got sanctified money being paid for a portion in an animal that's sanctified. How does the kedusha, the sanctification of the money, depart the money? Bekitsur, in summation or simply put, Eich mistalek hakedusha shala kesef. How does the sanctity that's on the money depart the money? Im eino shulam avur mashu chulin. If the money is not paid for something that is common, kidei she kedushas hadomim itofes al hachulin. In order for the sanctity, in order for sanctity to be transferred, we speak about sanctity going from the from its original location of sanctity, and then going on to something else that is mundane, turning it into something sanctified, leaving the original item now free of its sanctity. In this case, the cash would have been freed from its sanctity. But that would have been understood much more easily if the money that was sanctified, that was earmarked by these people for buying a Korban Pesach, if the money was used to buy something that was chulin. But that's not what happened in this case. In this case, on both sides of the equation, if you will, you've got money that's sanctified and the animal that's already sanctified. So that for the money to for the kedusha on the money to depart, it would have to have been paid for something that's chulin, not for something that's already sanctified. So that question preoccupies the Gemara till the bottom of Tzadi Omer Aleph. The Gemara. Omar Ula. We're reading the Gemara three lines from the bottom. Omar Ula v'itema Raboshaya. Ula, and some have a version, Raboshaya, says, Efshir yadi chavrin bavloi taimu dahai milsa. Is it possible, or it should only be, that one of our Babylonian colleagues would be able to explain the following? Zehifrish tleb lepischo, zehifrish mos lepischo. You have one person who set aside a lamb for his Korban Pesach, and he sanctified it as such, and the other party set aside money and sanctified it for the purpose of buying a Korban Pesach. Hech hektish chal al hektish. How does sanctity transfer itself to something else that's already sanctified, dikotoni mol shebiyadu chulin, where we see in the original source that the money that was paid, after it's paid, the money becomes chulin. Like, where did the sanctity go? To say the sanctity went onto something that's already sanctified, that can't happen. Once something is sanctified, it's filled with sanctity. There's no room for more sanctity to go into it. Sanctity is transferred off of something only when the second item is itself chulin, mundane. So that is our question. How does sanctity get transferred onto something else that is sanctified? Now, in order to raise this question, you must accept the assumption that the animal is completely sanctified and that the money was completely sanctified. Once you alter either one of those assumptions, so then this purchase, buying into a Korban Pesach and the money becoming chulin, would be easily understood. But if you are accepting the premise that we're laying down, that the money is completely sanctified and the animal has been completely sanctified, this is a serious question. Now we turn to Daf Tzadi Omer Aleph, and here we have something that happens, but very rarely in the Shas, as far as Gemara markings is concerned, where we have to make a choice in how to present this particular daf. The first third of this page, basically the bracketed section that goes till the second wide line, is practically not understandable unless you have all of the background that appears at the second half of the page, namely the second two-thirds of the page, namely from the second wide line of the Gemara till the Mishnah, practically speaking. You need to have this information in place before one can really understand that which you see in the top part of the page. So what we will try to do is learn the Gemara out of order, so to speak, and then if you want to appreciate the Gemara in standard form, so then that we will leave you with that opportunity in your Gemara review. Of course, Gemara review is an essential part of Gemara learning, so we feel confident that you will do so, allowing you to see the entire Gemara in its standard form. However, in order to teach it, in order to learn it for the first time, we're going to have to do this rather, we'll call, unorthodox approach. What happens in the top part of the page, you will see at the opening line, you can see Abaye makes reference to Rav Oshaya setting up a particular source as such and such, and Abaye comments that if Rav Oshaya wouldn't have set up the this later, this source that we haven't seen yet, as such and such, I would have set it up differently. So it's very difficult to talk about how Rav Hoshaya set up a source when we haven't seen the information to begin with. So what we will do then is go to the second wide line of the Gemara, where we have a double underline highlighting the introduction of sources. Mahi de Rav Hoshaya, later on, since reference in the Gemara is made to a source containing Rebbe, the Gemara will ask, my Rebbe. So what's the Rebbe source that you're referring to? So how now the Gemara, again, we're starting from the second wide line. Mahi de Rav Hoshaya. What is the source that Rav Hoshaya was associated with in terms of his setting it up as in accordance with the teaching of Rebbe? So, disnan. So here we have a Mishnah. Nosan lo mukdoshim be'esnana. A man gave mukdoshim. Now, mukdoshim, generally speaking, is a reference to sacrifices, animals that were sanctified for the purpose of being offered as a sacrifice. He gave these mukdoshim be'esnana. Be'esnana means to a harlot for her services. Now, we should point out, in general, and based on a based on psukim in the Torah itself, if I, for example, were to if I were to give a sheep or a goat or a cow to a harlot for services, that animal cannot be brought as a sacrifice. That is a Torah law. Here, I didn't give an animal that she would then sanctify. Here, I gave her something that was already sanctified. I gave her mukdoshim. And it says, maybe surprisingly, it says, Hare Elu Mutarin. These sanctified animals can be offered as a sacrifice. They can be offered up in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Oifos Dechulin, Hare Elu Asurin. If I gave the harlot for her services, as payment for her services, I gave her common birds. Common birds, we mean birds that are not sanctified, birds that are suitable for being offered as sacrifices. Namely, they're called Torin or Bnei Yona. Those are the types of birds that are brought as sacrifices. If I gave them to her while they were still unsanctified, well, they cannot be brought later as a sacrifice. Shehoyo Bedin. Bedin is a reference to logic. Through logic, I would have reasoned as follows. Uma im mukdoshim shahamum posel bohen. Ein esnan umechir chal alehem. Mind you, something that's already sanctified. And we know that when you have a korban, an animal sacrifice, blemishes can render them unfit. So here we're dealing with mukdoshim, something that's sensitive to blemishing. And yet, when presented to the zona, to the harlot, esnan is the Torah term for the gift or the payment given to a harlot. And we are taught here that the fact that it was given to her does not ruin them. Ein esnan u'mechir chal aleihem. Labeling of it as an esnan or a mechir. Mechir is another problematic situation. That's where, let us say, I give as payment for a dog, I give a cow, or I give a sheep, a type of animal that's suitable for a korban, I give it to someone in exchange for his dog. That animal, the sacrifice-worthy animal, can no longer be brought. That's a mechir kelev, as the Torah refers to it. However, when you're dealing with something that's already been sanctified, though it is sensitive to blemishes, the esnan or mechir status does not set upon them. Ein esnan or mechir chal aleihem. Oifos, which are even more resilient, so to speak, she'ein hamum poisel bohen. The rule is that a bird offering, if it has a blemish, a blemish that on an animal would have rendered it unfit, will not render a bird unfit. So a bird is more resilient to the problem of blemishes. logic would then tell you, Ein Odin, She'ein, Esnan, U'mechir, Chal Aleihem. Logic would tell you, then certainly they should not be affected by Esnan or Mechir, i.e. giving a bird to a harlot as payment for her services, or presenting a bird in exchange for a dog. That should not render the bird unfit. And yet we said that birds that are chulin are rendered unfit if they're given as an esnan or a mechir. How is that? Why is that? Talmud Lomar? Well, the pasuk says, L'chol neder, L'rabois es ha'oifois. So that the pasuk that tells you about the prohibition of esnan and mechir tells you that that we are including even birds. Well then, now that we know this, that birds are subject to becoming labeled as an esnan, let us turn the logic around this way. Kal v'chomer l'mukdoshim me'ata. Now let's use kal v'chomer logic to render mukdoshim as certainly being unfit with regard to if it's given to a zona, a harlot, or used in exchange for a dog. And how would the logic work? Ma oifois she'ein hamum poisil bohen. Esnan u'mechir chal aleihem. Mind you, birds that are rather resilient when it comes to the issue of blemishes, yet they are subject to ruination if they're presented as an esnan or a mechir. Mukdoshim shamum poisil bohem. Animals that are already sanctified, and we know that mum, blemishes do ruin them. Einodin she'esnan u'mechir chal aleihem. Then all the more so, esnan and mechir should be the basis of their ruination. And yet we said before that not so. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says l'chol neder. The word in the pasuk that we are emphasizing here is neder, prat l'nodur. The what becomes ruined by an esnan? Something that is not yet sanctified. Nodur means something that is already sanctified. So that which is l'chol neder, something that would be sanctified if given as an esnan, cannot be brought any more as a korban. However, something that's already sanctified, that is not affected. Ella, so now the Gemara asks a question. Ella taima de kosav rachmona neder. So how do I know that the mukdashim are not ruined? Because of the word neder. Ha lav hochi. If not for that, have amina mukdashim chal isur esnan alehen. Had I not had that word, then I would have had room to think that something that's already sanctified could be ruined by having been given to the harlot as payment. But that is hard to understand. For how, do we not have another rule? Another rule that should protect the mukdashim from the esnan status, even without a special scriptural reference. For ein adam oiser davar she'eino shelo. You cannot prohibit something. You can't impose restriction on something that's not yours. An animal that has been sanctified is not yours. When you sanctify it, you would think that it becomes the property of the base Hamikdash. That it being bearing that in mind, and we have a rule: Ein Odom Oiser Dover Sheino Shelo. If I give an esnan, if I give a korban as an esnan, I give mukdashim as an esnan to a zoyna. That cannot impose restriction on it. It's not mine to restrict anymore. It belongs to someone else. I can't aser something that isn't mine. So how are we to understand this source that says in the Aleph in the source, just 7-8 lines up, it said, if you give mukdashim to as an esnan, they're okay. But and why are they okay? Only because I have a pasuk. Without the pasuk, they would have been ruined. So the Rav Oshaya, and he's a central name as far as this entire Omud of Gemara is concerned. Abaye at the top line made reference to this comment of of Rav Hoshaya. What we're about to see now is the point that Abaya was referring to in his opening line. So, Omer Rav Hoshaya, B'memane zoino al pischoi ve'rebi hi. What is happening here is that this Nosan Lo Mugdoshim Besnena really is a person is giving a portion of his Korban Pesach to a Zona. In payment for her services, he's telling her, listen, you can now have a portion of the Korban Pesach and fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach with my Korban Pesach. And that is in accordance with Rebbe's teaching. Now, we have to just repeat a major point that's not so obvious in the Gemara. We're working right now with the fact that only because of the Gzeres HaKosov, Neder, Prat L'Nodur, otherwise the person would have been able to aser the Korban. The issue, I know we're sounding a bit repetitive, but the issue is, don't we say Ein Odom Oser Dover Sheinu Shelo? So Rav Hoshaya says that might be true in general, but with regard to this case where a person is having the Zona join in with the Korban Pesach, he had the strength to prohibit it, if not for the Pasuk. Now, where does this come from? What do you mean he had the strength to prohibit it, to have Isser imposed? So now this will become clear as we go on. Rav Hoshaya says that this is in accordance with Rebbe. My Rebbe, what is the reference you're making to Rebbe? The Sanya, here we have another Tanaic source that opens with a pasuk regarding the Korban Pesach, v'im yimat habayis miyos miseh. This we discussed earlier today. This is a reference to having someone join up with your Korban Pesach, and he pays money for it. We say hachyehu miseh, michdei achila velo michdei mekach. Though it's very terse, the source, the language here is somewhat vague, but it's telling me that when someone pays money to be part of your Korban Pesach, and why are you selling part of your Korban Pesach? Because yim'at habayis means the owner doesn't have much money. The owner of the Pesach has very little money. So, im yim'at habayis miyos miseh, miyos hachiyehu miseh, you can gain life, so to speak, through your money. But what are you gaining? That's michtei achila velo michtei mekach. What does that mean? You can use the money for buying tzorchei achilas Pesach, as Rashi says. Things that are needed for the preparation of the Korban Pesach. For example, if you need wood in order to roast the Korban Pesach, and you don't have money for that, what you can do is you can sell a portion of your Korban Pesach, have someone else join in with it, he'll pay you money, and you take that money and buy wood for roasting your Korban Pesach. However, you cannot use that money for business purposes. That's what velo michtei mekach means. Rebbe Oimer. Now watch this. This is Rebbe, and this is what we're focusing on. Rebbe Omer af michtei mekach. You can use the money even for other purposes, other than things that are directly related to the eating of the Korban Pesach. Shim ein lo, if a person doesn't have money for investment purposes, memane acher imoy al pischo. What you can do is you can have someone join in, appoint someone to buy into your Korban Pesach, v'al chagigoso, or to buy into your Korban Chagigo, umos shebiodo chulin. And the money that you get will be considered common, mundane money. Sha'amanas kein hikdishu Yisrael es pischein. It's with this in mind that people sanctify their original sanctification of their Korban Pesach is with this in mind. It's a type of qualification in the sanctification. Bear in mind that we're This is all part of the discussion we started at the bottom of Pei Tes Amud Beis, and that was, how is it that money that's sanctified can become chulin when money that's sanctified is being used to buy a korban pesach that is already sanctified? So we see already in this source a reflection of the answer, namely that the original sanctification of the korban pesach was such that there was like room left in the sanctification of it for the money to have its sanctity transferred onto the chulin spot, so to speak, and lose its sanctity, and therefore the owner of the Korban Pesach can use the money for whatever he wants. As far as what you are really going to be using your money for, that's what the continuation of the Gemara deals with. At this point, we are ready to go back to the top of the Omid. You may notice that there is a bracketed section before we go back to the top, starting with Rav and Rabbi Zera. The section that you see in brackets there is simply a Machlokes Amoroyim, Rabbo and Rabbi Zera, in explaining the Machlokes Tanoim between the Tanakamo and Rebbe that we saw in the most recent Tanaic source, as to what are you in effect, or what in actuality are you allowed to do with the money that you received by someone buying into your Korban Pesach. As we said, let us now turn to the top of the Omid. Omar Abaye, Ilav de'ukme revoshaya lehahi b'memane zoyna al pischo v'rebihi. If not for that which Rabbi Shaya did, establishing the Nosan Lo Mugdoshim source, what did Rabbi Shaya say that source was referring to? Rabbi Shaya said it's referring to a person who is giving a zona, a portion in his Korban Pesach. So even though the source used the term Mugdoshim, which sounds like a broad term, it was really limited to the case of someone giving a portion to a harlot for her services in his Korban Pesach. So Abaye says, if not for Rabbi Shaya and his explanation of setting up the source as he did, I, says Abaye, have mukmino lo lehahi, I would have set up that source that spoke about the Esnan being chal on Mugdoshim, if not for the Pasuk. The Kodshim Kalim v'alibo d'Rav Yossi Haglili, I would have said that it's talking about the broader area. It's talking about low-level sanctity sacrifices. The common example of that would be a Korban Shlomim. In accordance with Rabbi Yossi Haglili, the Omar, Kodshim Kalim Momon Bailim Hu, that Kodshim Kalim low-level sanctity korbanos are considered something you own. And something that you own, therefore, doesn't come under the problem of Ein Adam Oyser Dover Sheino Shelo. Remember, what did that say? That says you can't prohibit something that's not yours. But if you classify Kodshim Kalim, as Rabbi Yossi Haglili does, as Momon Bailim, Momon means something you do own. It's considered something under your ownership. Oh, then that would mean if you give a Korban Shlomim to a Zoyna, if not for the Pasuk, that would have been able to impose Isur on it. Abaye continues talking. He says, Avo be-Pesach lo mishayir inish. But as far as a Korban Pesach, when one sanctifies a Korban Pesach with Kedushas Haguf, with inherent sanctity, he doesn't leave room in there. He doesn't leave room in there, let's say, room of it being unsanctified. we've used some markings here to highlight different, say, aspects of this sukkia. You notice we have a house marking. Notice here we have bePesach lo mishayir inish. That's Abaye's approach, that when one sanctifies a korban Pesach, nothing is left unsanctified. There's no room. It's not as if you sanctified 85% of it, but you sanctified the entire amount, the entire animal. Later, we're going to see another approach that says, in the next house marking, where it says bePischo mishayir inish. So in contrast to that which we're seeing here, we see something to the contrary, and that we highlight with this marking. We have an internal brackets, this angular brackets, which we will skip for the meantime. Up till now, Abaye said that if had Rav Hoshaya not set up the source as he did, namely is referring to a case of Memana Zoyin al Pischo, I would have set up the source as referring to Kochim Kalim, Faliba de Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and if you'll ask though, how could the animal have become Asered if not for the Pasuk, our answer to that is because it's Mamun Bailim, it is yours, and being that it is mine, I can Aser that which is mine, and if I give it to a Zoino as payment for services, that will Aser it. Now we skip this angular brackets, takes you to the first wide line, fourth word on the line, Vahashta du ukme Rebbe Oshayo. Now that Rebbe Oshayo has established Hahi, that case, the source of Nosan lo Mukdashim is B'meman Ezoin al Pischoi V'Rebbe Hi. Now that Rebbe Oshayo has said that that's what the source was talking about, Shma Mino, this shows us the Svira Lei that Rav Hoshaya is of the opinion, Afilu bePischoi Mishayir Inish, that even when it comes to the animal itself, the Korban Pesach itself, he leaves room, so to speak, that's unsanctified. And being that he's left room that's unsanctified, that is the portion, so to speak, that he is giving to the Zona in payment for her services. And since he was Mishayir, he left that unsanctified. The issue of Ein Odom Oser Dovish and Lof, Sheino Shalof, falls away. It's because that portion that's unsanctified remains his, and when he gives that to the Zona, that would have made it into an Esnan. Let us now turn to a Rashi that you'll find to be invaluable. Rashi is just a couple lines down from here. V'hashta du'ukmo Rav Hoshaya lahu b'memane zoino al pischo. Almo kosova Rav Hoshaya. What this shows us is that Rav Hoshaya holds Pesach gufei l'rebi momon bailim. The Pesach itself is considered his own possession. V'shaminon mino, and from here we would conclude afilu b'pesach mishayu inish, that even in the Pesach itself a person leaves a portion unsanctified. Kol shekein mois, all the more so when you're dealing with cash. The kol shekein the motzimin leukma lehach dekotoni moshe biyado chulin. Remember, this was the original topic. The original topic was, how is the money that a person gets in exchange for having someone buy into his korban pesach, how does the money become chulin? Very simply, kerebi. This is in accordance with Rebbe. Daha pesach chulin hu. There's a portion of his Pesach that remains chulin, and he can sell that part of it to the person that had, let's say, even if he sanctified his money for the purpose of buying a korban Pesach, so good. The money that was sanctified, its sanctity gets transferred onto this chulin part of the owner's korban Pesach, and therefore the money, now that the sanctity was transferred off of it, the money becomes chulin v'yochol mochro, and the owner can sell that. Umois shel oison acherim chulin have, the money that the others paid now for it to buy into this korban pesach, the money now becomes chulin because the sanctity that was on that money gets transferred to the part of the korban pesach that he was mishayah, that he left unsanctified. and now there's no room for asking the original question. How can sanctity that's on the money get transferred to the sanctity that's on the korban, and the money thereby go lechulin? Because that is not what is happening. It's money, even if the money itself was sanctified, it's getting transferred onto a part of the korban pesach that's not sanctified. Now, we have the angular bracket section of Gemara to go back to. This is going back to Abaye's observation, or Abaye's comment. Abaye said that the source that we saw in the third wide line, Nosan lo mukdoshen besnena, that source had Reb Hoshaya not explained it as referring to the case of Memane Zoyna Pischo. I, says Abaye, would have set it up as referring to Kochim Kalim in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which says that Kochim Kalim is Momon Bailim. But as far as the Pesach is concerned, Lo Mishayer Inish. As far as explaining the Korban Pesach and buying into it, and that the money gets transferred, the sanctity of money gets transferred onto a part of the Korban Pesach that was not sanctified, I don't accept that, says Abaye. But Pesach lo mishayir inish, when a person sanctifies an animal as a Korban Pesach, he sanctifies it lock, stock, and barrel, kit and caboodle. The whole thing is, the entire animal is sanctified. However, B'mois, as far as the original question that we started at the bottom of Pei Testament Base, what about the money? How does the money that is used to pay for a Korban Pesach, how does it become chulin? We said Mois should be able to chulin. How does that work? So Abaye says, that's no problem. But Mois, vadai mishayir inish. As far as the original money that this outsider, this friend, set aside for the Korban Pesach, he sets aside money, but he doesn't sanctify the money in total. That's b'mois v'alei m'shayer inish. De'me'ikoro kimafrishlu, when he set aside the money in anticipation of buying into a Korban Pesach, adaita dehochi mafrishlu, he set it aside with this in mind. Namely, that when the money that he will give is given to the owner for him to benefit from it for whatever needs he has. V'ha, Rebbe he, and the brisa that we saw at Pei Tesamud Beis concerning Mimana Achirim al Pischo, that is in accordance with Rebbe, Umishum Hochi, and because of that, remember Rebbe's shita was that the money that you get from the sale of the Korban Pesach, we saw that in the source, the second double line in the wide lines, where we saw Rebbe saying that you can sell a Korban Pesach, and the money that you get you can use for, Rabbi said, af michtei mekach, you can use it for all kinds of things. So the source on Pei Tesamud Beis that spoke about the Moshe Biyado Chulin, that's in accordance with Rebbe, Umishum Hochi Moshe Biyado Chulin, and because we're setting it up like Rebbe, who darshened the posuk miyos miseh hachyeu miseh and as a few af michtei mekach, the money that you get is money that wasn't really totally sanctified at the outset. Uva mois vadai mishayir inish. And with regard to money, this is Abaye's explanation, of course. According to Abaye, the money that a person set aside, he left it aside from becoming truly sanctified. Vehahi de komoki lo Reb Hoshaya karebi, the source that involved the Mukdoshim and the Esnan being Chalon Mukdoshim, that source that Reb Hoshaya set up like Rebbe, even though we're sounding a little repetitive, Reb Hoshaya had, his approach had said that when a person sanctifies the Korban Pesach, he leaves some of it unsanctified. Well, and he set that up like Rebbe. Well, in other words, he said that explanation of the Esnan being Chal on the source that spoke of the Esnan being Chal Mukdoshim was referring to the Korban Pesach, that a person leaves part of it unsanctified and that's how it could have become Osir. Well, Lo Mukmino Le Ano Karebi, I, says Abaye, I wouldn't have set it up like Rebbe. I would not have set up the Nosan Mukdoshim source that was on the third wide line of the Gemara like Rebbe. Why not? The Pesach lo mishayer inish, because when it comes to the Korban Pesach, a person does not leave part of it unsanctified. He doesn't leave it unsanctified. An animal with that has Kedushas HaGuf, that has inherent sanctity, he won't leave part of that unsanctified. V'ho leko l'ukmi k'rabiosi, source on Peites Omid Beis of Memana Acherim Al Pischo, that, says Abaye, could not be set up like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who spoke about Kochim Kalim being Momon Bailim. The Hotoni Bo, it says in that very source, V'amocher Oilosu Shlomov, and here we will dash underline Shlomov because that's Kochim Kalim. Lo, it says in that source, lo also velo klum, that nothing has been accomplished. Well, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kochim Kalim, for example, Oshlomim, is Momon Bailim, and we wouldn't have said lo also velo klum. So, to review, as far as Abaye is concerned, once again, focusing on Abaye, the source of Nosan lo Mugdoshim Be'esnena, in which we said that without the Gzeres HaKosev, the Muktoshim would have become Osir. Abaye will tell you that source is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that Kochim Kalim, and Muktoshim is a reference to Kochim Kalim, Momon Bailim, and therefore Adam Osir, Davar Shehu Shalo. It's considered Momon Bailim, it's his. According to Abaye, the source at Pei Tesamid Beis that spoke about Mois Shebiyodo Chulin, someone who sold a portion of his Korban Pesach to someone else and the money that he got for that is Chulin. The explanation for that, according to Abaye, is that the original money, when it was sanctified, was not really sanctified. Or the Meshayer B'Mois. It's left unsanctified. In other words, when the person set aside his money, he did so with the intent that the receiver of the money would be able to do with it as he pleases, and that is in accordance with Rebbe. However, the source there on Pei Tesamid Beis, says Abaye, could not have been according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, because in that very source it says that Mocher Losu Shlomov Losu Velo Klum, and that is not in conformity to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Let's continue now in the Gemara, and after we continue this, then we'll make a summation statement as far as Rav Hoshaya is concerned as well, just like we said regarding Abaye. We continue in the Gemara at the first wide line, right after the angular brackets ends. V'hashto du'ukme Rav Hoshaya lahi b'memane zoyna apisho v'revihi, and now that Rav Hoshaya set up the case of Nosan lo Mugdoshim Esnena as giving a part of your Korban Pesach to a Zona for her services, and that would have ostered it if not for the Gzeres HaKosuv, well, that is in accordance with Rebbe and Shma Mino, the Sfira Lei. The result of this is, it seems that it results is that Rebbe Shaya holds, Afilu bepischo Meshayer Inish. Even with regard to the basic Korban Pesach, here in this source, there wasn't any money exchange. He was simply giving a portion. He was allowing the Zona for in exchange for services to have a portion in his Korban Pesach. So it must be that some of the Korban Pesach Mishire he left unsanctified, and because of that, if I didn't have the Chol Neder, I would have said that Korban Pesach becomes unfit as an Esnan Zona. So now, just to review, as far as Rav Hoshaya is concerned, a person, when he sanctifies a Korban Pesach, he left a part of it unsanctified. So as far as Peites Omid Beis is concerned, where we said Mos Shebiyodoi Chulin, how is that? Because the money, even if the money itself was sanctified, the original Korban Pesach, part of it is left unsanctified. So that the sanctity from the money that the customer wants to used to pay for his portion in the Korban Pesach, that sanctity gets transferred onto the chulin part of the Korban Pesach, where he left it unsanctified. As far as Rav Hoshaya's take on this, and so what did we just say? So that pei tesom et beis can easily be explained as the kedusha of the money going onto that part of the Korban Pesach that was left unsanctified, because a person is Meshayer, the Pischoy Meshayer Inish. And Rav Hoshaya's explanation of the Nosan law, Mukdosh Besnena, was in fact a person giving a portion of his Korban Pesach to the Zona for her services, and if not for the Pasuk of the Chol Neder Prat Lenodur, that Pesach would have become Osir because of the same concept of the Pischoy Meshayer Inish. If you take advantage of our marginal notes, our hope is that some of these points will become clear for review purposes. We have some unfinished business, so to speak. If you recall, we had a bracketed section with Rabo and Rebbe Zera. Before focusing on that, since we're in the heat of our Abaye Rav Hoshaya discussion, let us skip to the Gemara that you'll find 8 lines from the bottom of the page, Ula Abaye. Ula Abaye de Omar. This is a reference to Abaye at the top of the page. Ula Abaye de Omar, I love the ukmo Rav Hoshaya lahi bememane zoino al pischo verebihi. Abaye had declared that if Rav Hoshaya would not have established the Tanaic source on the third wide line as a case of Mimanazon Epischo and in accordance with Rebbe, have a Mukminon law the Kochim Kalim Valiba Derbiosi Haglili, I would have set it up as Muktoshim, referring to a Korban Shlomim, for example, so that's low level sanctity sacrifices, and in accordance with Rebiosi Haglili, the Omar Kochim Kalim Momon Bailim. Who? That Kochim Kalim is yours, it's considered your possession, and hence the issue of Ein Odom Oyster Dovashen Shil would not have arisen because it is yours and you can create for prohibition on it. Avol the Pesach lo Mishayer Inish. But as far as a Korban Pesach is concerned, this is once again according to Abaye. And with regard to the sanctification of a Korban Pesach, a person doesn't leave part of it unsanctified. That's what Abaye said. Now we're going to ask, Hokotoni Behedya, but we saw a Tanaic source that said explicitly, and if there's any question as to where this is, look at your little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and you can see where the arrow leads you to the end of the source, beginning with the Pasuk Im Yimat. Does it not say Sha'amanas Kain Hikdishu Yisrael Es Pischem, that when they sanctified their Korban Pesach, originally they did so with this intent that some of it would be left unsanctified? So how can Abaye say but Pesach lo Mishayer Inish when the source indicates to the contrary? So the Gemara answers Amal, rather state in that source as follows: Sha'amanas Kain Hikdishu Yisrael mo'ois pischehem. When it comes to the money that people set aside for the purpose of buying a Korban Pesach, they do it with this qualification in mind that it's not going to be completely sanctified. But as far as the animal itself, when you sanctify an animal as a Korban Pesach, it is completely sanctified. We have a bracketed section with Rabba and Rabbi Zera, and we mentioned before that these Amoroim, Rabba and Rabbi Zera, will be explaining the Machlokas Tanoim between the Tanakamo and Rebbe with regard to what are you allowed to use the money that you get in exchange for someone buying into your Korban Pesach. So, and we saw a Tanaic source. The Tanakamo said, Mechtei Achilo Velo Mechtei Mekach, and Rebbe said, Af Mechtei Mekach. The Gemara, Rabo v'Rebbe Zera. The triangles highlight each one of the Amoraic opinions. Chad Omar, Af Michdei, Chad Omar, Be'etzim Litzlioso, Kuliamolo Pligi. Everyone will agree, if there's any question about using the money for buying wood for the roasting of the Korban Pesach, everyone will agree, even the Tanakama, that you can use the money that you get for that. The cave on the takanta the Pesach hu kegufa the Pesach dummy, since it's for the purpose of preparing the Korban Pesach for the benefit of the Korban Pesach, it's like the Korban Pesach itself. So there's no misappropriation of funds if that's what you choose to use the money for. Key pligi, the issue between the Tanakama and Rebbe will arise if you want to use the money that you get for your Korban Pesach b'matzah u'moror. You want to use it for buying matzah moror. Don't forget, we spoke about a person that doesn't, he's down and out, he has very little money, has no money available. So if he wants to use the money for buying wood for roasting his Korban Pesach, that's certainly, it's for the benefit of the Korban Pesach. So what about using the money for matzah and moror? Rabbonan Savri, Rabbonan, who are more restrictive, they say, ho achilo achritihi. This is an outside eating, and that's not what you're allowed to use the money for. The Rebbe Sovar, kevon dehechshero de pesachu, since it's part of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. What do we mean by that? The Pasuk says, regarding the eating of the Korban Pesach, al matzos umrorim yochluhu, that you're to eat it together with matzah and moros, so it too is considered part of the Korban Pesach, kegufa de Pesach domi, and therefore you're allowed to use the money for that. V'chad omar, the other Amoraic opinion, of Rabbo and Rebbe Zeir, the other one said, b'matzo moro nami kuliamalo pligi, as far as matzah moror, everyone will agree. Even the Tanakam will agree you're allowed to use the money that you get for having someone buy into your Korban Pesach. You can use it for matzah moror. Dichtiv al matzos umrorim yochluhu. The kevon, the machshirin, the pesach, ninu kepesach domi. Since it's part of the fulfillment, machshir, the readying or the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, it's like the Korban Pesach itself. Ki pligi, the machlokis arises, likach boi choluk, likach boi talis, to buy articles of clothing. A choluk and talis are two different kinds of articles of clothing. Can you use the money for that? Rabbonon Savri, the Rabbonon who were restrictive, hold, mios mise oma rachmono hachayehu lese. That means you're allowed to use the money for things that will benefit the animal, that will benefit the Korban Pesach. And your purchase of a choluk or talis doesn't benefit the Korban Pesach. For Rebbe Sovar, hachayeh atzmecho miseh. That hachayehu, the drosha on miyos miseh, as far as Rebbe is concerned, that means hachayel atzmecho, benefit yourself. Hachayel literally is resuscitate yourself, meaning whatever you need from the seh. At this point, we have learned all of the Gemara on this Amud, of course, with the exception of the Mishnah. We learned it in a very unorthodox fashion, and our sincere apologies are conveyed to those of you who were upset by this. Our hope is that in the case of review, things will become much clearer, but as I hope we were able to demonstrate that to appreciate the narrow lines of this Daf Gemara, where Abaye was making reference to Rav Hoshaya and what he did with some kind of source, that section could not have been understood without having first learned the first section of the wide lines of this Gemara, and then going back to the top as we did, and finishing the rest of the material. So before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.